God is so, so awesome, and God does so much for us. It's amazing, amazing what it does for us. You know, a guy spots a sign outside of a house that reads, "Talking dog for sale." Can you imagine that sign somewhere? "Talking dog for sale." So he's intrigued. He walks in and says, "So what have you done with your life?" He asked the dog. And the dog said, "I've lived a very full life. I've lived in the Alps rescuing avalanche victims. Then I rescued my countrymen in Iraq. And now I spend my days reading to the residents of a retirement home." The guy was flabbergasted. He asked the dog's owner, "Why on earth would you want to get rid of an incredible dog like that?" The owner said, "Because he's a liar. He never did any of that." Satan is a liar. He's the father of all lies. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about it through the life of David. And in the next few weeks, coming up, we're going to have some stuff on anxiety and on stuff on fear and on stuff of getting it done for God. Amen. Because there's a lot of that going around these days. Have y'all noticed that? There's a lot. So we're going to trust God for that. Amen. So we're going to talk. This is our final, maybe this is our final installment from David, Greatest Living in the Land of the Giants. Amen? So, I'm going to put it up here so you can see it. So you can either read it here or get it in your Bible. But this is 1 Samuel chapter 29, excuse me, 1 Samuel 17, verse 29 through 50. But David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" He comes up and he is delivering lunch to his brothers who are fighting. But his brothers aren't fighting. They're hiding along with their leader. They're all hiding. And so he says, "Don't y'all realize this guy here is not of the covenant? He doesn't belong to God. We do. Isn't there a cause?" And they get mad at David and say, "He's just showing off." Amen? So here it is. "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And his people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, 'The Lord hath delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.' So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David." Just throw your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that we don't want to even try to live this life without you. Lord, we know, God, that the enemy is attacking full blown. He's coming against any way he can. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint your people so that we can stand up. We can know what to do. We know how to do it. We know what you want for us to do in this last day. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to see the giants, but not back down. Yeah. Step forward and watch what you'll do. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Just two slides. Two slides we're going right in from last week, and then we're going right into it. Again, you ever felt like that? Lately? Like what Benny says, you mean today? All right. A giant is anything that intimidates with his size, it threatens with his power, and it seeks to take away, it stands between you and victory in your life, victory given by God, if we'll just take it. God is so awesome. Ready? Here we go. One more. Last week we talked about this. Here's Goliath. He's 11 foot tall. He's a big bad dude. His coat weighs 150 pounds. His spear head weighs 40 pounds. His spear shank is 8 to 9 foot long. He is a bad, bad dude. And his armor is brass. Brass in the Word of God symbolizes trial. For 40 days and 40 nights, this giant has stood in the valley. Wow. God's people's on one side and the Philistines' people are on this side. And it says, send me one man, just send me your champion to fight me, winner take all. Well, their champion was Saul. Saul ain't going out there. Nobody else is going out there. Saul offered a great, tremendous bounty. He said, if you'll go out there, I'll make you rich. I will give you my daughter, and your family will be free in the land. That may be our Easter message. That's why I say you may hear from David again. Nobody took him up on it. Why? Giants come to put fear in our lives. Giants we face today might not be physical. Matter of fact, the giants that we face today are situations, circumstances, struggles that seem insurmountable and causes us to tremble in fear. The giants that we face are real. The giants that we face are intimidating. Fear, know this, fear is a tool of the enemy that he uses to separate us from God, from his power, from his passion, from his word. Nobody in this life can escape fear. Nobody. It's how you deal with it is where it comes in. So everybody in here, every last one of us, you might say he ain't afraid of anything. Everybody say he ain't afraid. Well, here it is, old Southern talk. He ain't afraid of nothing. You ever hear that? You ever say that? He is. They are. If the right situation comes up, fear attacks every person. Y'all say every person.
Every person.
Therefore, you cannot think that, well, I'm fear gets to me, so why fear's getting to me? How does it not get to them? Courage, I like what John Wayne said. Courage is being scared and saddling up anyway. Amen? Amen. So here we go. Here it goes. Y'all get ready. God is so, so awesome. Know that your faith is not some magical shield that makes your problems disappear. But it is a deep trust in God that gives us the courage to face our problems. We know that he's with us and he's going to help us. We know God is there. And because that faith does not eliminate the giants, it does not eliminate fear in our lives, but it gives us strength to face them. The assurance that we're not standing in that valley alone. Wow. Get ready. For God has given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Get ready. I hope that if you're having this problem today, it'll stop. Y'all say the buck stops here. It doesn't mean the fear stops here, because the fear may still be there. But the buck stops here, meaning what it's making me do is going to stop today. So now watch this. If we allow fear to take root in our lives, listen carefully. If we allow fear to take root in our lives, it can grow out of control to the point that it keeps us awake at night. Even plaguing our thoughts. Think about it. Fear nestles its way in, it cuddles you and it coddles you, and you can't even sleep. You can't do anything because of these thoughts that are constantly plaguing you. We sink on on this right here. What if? What if? What if? What if? Anybody ever had that problem? What if? What if I get sick? What if my family falls apart? What if I lose my job? What if? What if? What if? What happens is I'm trying. This is candy, but I didn't want to go up to the last week and get choked on it. You know, my granddaddy just asked, how do you, granddaddy? He said, I don't want to eat cornbread without getting choked on it. Well, let me try eating a piece of candy. When we live in what if, our fears become debilitating. Let it sink in. When we live in fact fear in the what ifs, our fears become debilitating. Matter of fact, like a python. A python does not bite its people. It sneaks up on them and grabs its prey. And as it's going around, it just keeps going around and going around and going around and going around. Some of y'all been doing that lately? Your fear's got you going around and around and around and the what is, what is, what is. And then the python squeezes his prey. Sometimes that prey is so big. A deer. A person. Whatever. This python squeezes until the prey can no longer breathe. I call it toxic anxiety. Toxic anxiety because, listen, first it changes you on the inside. It puts change in your mind, change on your heart, change in here that binds you. But not only does it bind you here, then the chains move to the outside, which stops your actions. You no longer move forward in God. You no longer look forward to God. It didn't give you anything to do because you say, how can I? What if I mess up? What if it's me I'm listening to? What if Satan? What if, what if, what if, what if? Whenever you get caught up in the what ifs, know that it's toxic anxiety. But God has a cure for that. When our fears threaten to overwhelm us, just think what David said. David's out there looking and seeing all of Israel, the entire army, hiding. Their champion, Saul, scared to death. David comes up on, he's the youngest. He's the shepherd boy. He's not a soldier like the rest of them. And he walks up and sees what's going on. He goes, what is happening here? I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I promise you, there are times I come into situations and when I see it, I'm thinking, wow, fear grips. The grips have got them. Python is smothering them. And they have toxic anxiety and is killing them. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Wow. Here's the difference. Saul and all of Israel were focused on what if. What if we send a man out there against this 11-foot giant who's bigger twice the size of all of us? What if we send him out and he's defeated, then we're going to wind up being slaves. What if then? What's going to happen to my family if I become a slave? What's going to happen to my land if I become a slave? What's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen if I send somebody down to fight me? fly for 40 days and 40 nights, also the number of tribes. David didn't dwell on the what is. He's still on what is.
Amen.
Let it sink in. What ifs are unstable. What ifs cause anxiety. What ifs keep you up at night. What ifs keep you from moving forward because you're always concerned about what if. Quit focusing on what ifs and start focusing on what is. Remember I told you, I am here, God is with me, and I'm safe. I'm here, God is with me, and I'm safe. What ifs are over here, shoulda, coulda, wouldas are over here, and we live in between all these places and stop it. I'm here, now, not in the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, not in the what ifs. I'm here, now, God is with me, and I'm saved. When you do that, our faith becomes our shield. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Who cares about the shield of faith? In the military, the shield was a very powerful thing. Usually, it was metal or wood. It would cover a large part of the body, and it had up to 7 layers of leather on it. Every day, when the soldier got up, he took oil and he anointed that leather. Up 7 layers. He anointed that leather every day. All during the day, when he got a chance, he would anoint that shield. The Bible says in Ephesians, above all, taking the shield of faith, that we may quench the fire darts of the wicked. Many times the arrows had poison, or the arrows had fire, or both. And when it was shot at them, they could put up their shield of faith, and when the fiery darts, the arrows went into those 7 layers of anointed, oiled down leather, it will put the fire out. They could take it, pull it off, and put it back up. Wow. That's what David was doing. Although he didn't have all that stuff, his faith became his shield. So that's just going, let's read some of this stuff. I'm going to challenge you today. Remember, you can't stop fear. Can't stop it. It's going to be there. What you can stop is how you respond to it. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Let's go and read this. David's faith was not a blind faith. Not at all. It was a faith born of out of experience. Faith is not a feeling. Woo, I felt that. Well, that's good. I'm glad you felt that. I love to feel it too. Woo-hoo. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a choice. Remember that. Somebody say this to me. Faith is not a feeling.
It is a choice.
David says it's also courageous faith. It requires courage to step out of our comfort zone. Toxic anxiety not only puts you, keeps you out of, from moving out of your comfort zone, it'll cause you to back up. It takes courage to face our fears. It takes courage to take risks. David's faith also was a humble faith. He was not relying on his own strength. He was not relying on his own abilities. Faith requires humility to acknowledge if God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And finally, David's faith was a victorious faith. He did not just talk about his faith, he lived it out. I get so tired of hearing people talk about, well, we used to. I remember when, man, we used to throw down, man, we were so awesome back then. How about now? Yes, I like yesterday. Yes, I remember. haven't brought with you lately, guess what? The church doubles. Doubles. Isn't that cool? Doubles. And the same thing is, if you'll step out on faith and ask somebody, I don't want to hurt their feelings, you ask them to go to church. I found out at Procter & Gamble, people talk pure junk about me when I got saved. Man, they talk junk about me. They eat me up, they clean my clock, they eat me up, spit me out. But the same person that was eating me up and spit me out in front of everybody will come up to me and say, can I talk to you later, please? I said, sure. And I'm thinking they're going to eat me up again. No. I'm having problems with my wife. I'm having problems with my son. I'm having problems getting my head in the game. Can you please talk with me and help lead me through this? And the most amazing thing of all is when I went to Fountain, Mr. Fountain called me. He called me just in front of everybody, even the big wigs, all the guys, the banking techs. So he said, here's David Linton. He's our industrial engineering manager. That's our ISO. But he's also our company pastor. Anybody got a problem? We send them to him. Why? Procter & Gamble wasn't appreciative, but Fountain was. It was amazing how God worked in that place. David's faith was a victorious faith. They just talked about it, lived it out. You know, he didn't just profess his trust in God, he demonstrated it. He faced the giant with a sling and a stone. That takes faith. Think about it. This guy standing before him can crush him like a bug. And he's standing before him with a sling and a stone, because he knew God had him. DC was, 8 years old, 9 years old. And on Wednesday nights, I suck everyone that young people start giving devotions. I said, if I'm going to do a devotion, DC's hand went right up, dead out on him. I said, all right, come on in, brother. So Wednesday night, we're getting ready to have service, and he goes, he's been working all week. Wednesday night come, and I said, get ready for church. He says, yeah, I've got my hand. He come out wearing a suit. And I said, man, you look sharp, son. He said, thank you, Dad, let's get it done. I said, all right. And we sat down, I sit down behind him, and he started talking, and I heard his voice start getting a little. So I just walked up beside him. He said, come here, Dad, come here. So I stood there, and I stood beside him. And when I stood beside him, put my hand on his back. Wow, that boy, he was awesome. And he said, it's a big difference knowing that my dad has got me and got his hand on me. Our God's got our back. He's got his hand on us. He knows what we need to do, and he's got this. Look, so David's faith is a victorious faith. Get ready. The reason, here we go. The reason that David could take on Goliath, he saw things differently. Rest of those guys following Saul had toxic anxiety. David just saw things entirely different. Let's talk about seven things that he saw differently. And then I'll be closing. Number one, his experience was different than other people. The Bible says in verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and I took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and spoke him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and spoke him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and his uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies. Yes, that was something very big in front of him. When he got up there, he didn't forget the power that he saw behind him. He didn't forget how God had already used him. A shepherd boy, taking down a lion, grabbing him by his beard, getting rid of him, a bear. He has some experience under his belt. I guarantee if you look hard enough, every last one of you got some experience under your belt. And instead of being caught up in toxic anxiety, what if, sit back and say, God, show me when I was facing something like this before and how you helped me. Number one, his experience was different. Number two, his perspective was different. The Bible says, David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go! And the Lord be with thee. Obviously, he was very convincing for Saul to send a little 5-foot. When they exhumed David's corpse years ago, they found out he was about 5'1". He was a little fellow. 5'1". Stand up against a giant, depending on the cubit, between 9 and 11 foot tall. But he looked beyond the giant and saw opportunity for God to be glorified. Wow. That's a powerful thing. When you can look past what you're going through and on the other side, God's got something for you. God's got victory like you've never even thought of if you can get past that toxic anxiety and trust God and know that he's got you. Number three, his methods were different. Saul armed David with his armor. Now, can you imagine? Saul's the biggest man in Israel. Don't say how tall he was. But he was head and shoulders above everybody else. So he was head and shoulders above David, who was 5'1". Saul had to be at least 6'1", 6'5". Can you imagine the armor that he's wearing? And so he gives his armor to David. Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he was saved to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David took them off. Wow. And he took his staff in his hand and chose his 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and drew near the Philistine. Carried his staff with him. There's something special about that staff. To an Israeli, when they had their staff, it was like a miniature totem pole. And they would mark their victory, sort of like gunslingers, you know, they had notches in their gun. An Israeli would take his staff, which he had all his life, and he would do something to commemorate the battles, the things that he had overcome. So when he was holding himself up, he wasn't just holding himself up with the staff, but all those victories were holding him up as well. So when David stood before Goliath, he could look down and see where he slain the bear. He can look down and see where he slain the lion and all the other things that this guy had done. Wow, this is powerful. So he used what he knew would work versus what everybody else thought was the right method. Next, his conviction was different. The Bible says in verse 26, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine who should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answer out this manner, saying, shall it be done to the man that killed him? And then he goes down and talks about what's coming on. I'm not even going to talk about that because that may be our Easter message. Next. His motives were different. He heard the threats against God and knew that God could beat him. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thee says of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and of all beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the spear and shield, for the battle is whose?
The Lord's.
And he will give you into our hands. Stop it right there. His motives were different. His vision was different. He wanted to make God known as the most powerful God. The Philistines had gods in their temple, silver, half man, half fish. There's all these gods that they sacrificed unto, and he wanted them to know that his God was a living God. And finally, his attitude was different. You see, he saw Goliath not as a threat too big to fight, but as a target too big to miss. Some of y'all here right now, if you quit the toxic anxiety, which keeps you in your comfort zone and even pushes you back further and further and further, if you will quit, through God's help, the toxic anxiety, and step out and let God use you, knowing that you're hearing lies from the devil. Wow. Wow. Wow, what could happen? I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Wow. I do not hesitate to go. I'm with you always. Do not hesitate to go with you always. I do it again. I can do, y'all sing it. Y'all read it with me. Get ready. Ready? Do not hesitate to go. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So now, the Bible said that after he went through all the lies of the enemy that everybody else had been believing, it said he moved forward. I love this. He didn't wait for the enemy to come to him. The Bible says that it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't even wait for the guy to come to him. And David put his hand in his bag and took this, the stone, and slang it, and spoke to the Philistine in his forehead. Then the stone stuck in his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. First, he moved forward. When the Bible says, I send you thou, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't talking about Peter, but what he had said, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you have that profession of faith, you can move forward. And the gates of hell are stationary. You can move forward. So I said move forward. Somebody tell somebody else, quit living in yesterday. Move forward. Move forward. I love wagon train, especially with Ward Bond, that big old deep voice he's got. As he's leading that wagon train, watch how he say, forward, forward, move. You never say, God's faith in God, his word, be your sail. toxic anxiety stops you dead in your tracks. Now watch this. Watch this. I'll put it back in a minute. Once you move forward, once you seize the opportunity, once your actions of faith will be followed by an invasion. An invasion of God's victory. Not only, look, if you're bold enough, y'all say this with me, if you're bold enough to pray it and faith it, expect it, God is big enough to back it. Y'all say, I love that. Say it with me. If you're bold enough to pray it, bold enough to faith it, bold enough to expect it, God is big enough to back it. Now, he took him down. Man, he took him down. He finished it. God had him. He knew it. You could see it. The Bible says that he rushed him. He took out his sling. He hit the giant right in the eyes and it stuck, causing a deadly concussion, a deadly blow, probably a brain aneurysm when he hit him. And he went down flat. The Bible said, and after he knocked him out, all he had was a sling and a stone. He goes and climbs up on top of the giant and takes out the giant's sword. And it cuts off his head. What does that symbolize? Well, back in that day, whoever won the battle, it was common practice to either chain the other king and drag him through town and then execute him, to take off his head and use it as a deterrent for those that think they can do it, and also as a celebration for those. Let me show you something here. The Bible says in 50 and 51, I just told you, he got there, took the sword, cut his head off. Goliath means beheader. Did y'all know that? Goliath means beheader. Every victim he ever took, he took off their head and he carried it with him as a spoil of victory. Satan, likewise, is a beheader. He doesn't necessarily cut your head off, but he attacks your brain, your thoughts. He attacks what you see and how you see it. He attacks your perspective. He attacks what you're going through, and he throws back lies to feed you. And as he throws these lies, for all practical purposes, he beheads you. David cut off his head. As soon as he cut off his head, he turned the situation around. So we all in here, they're being held captive by toxic anxiety. If you would cut off Satan's head, refusing to accept the lies, refusing to let his mouth be an anchor, but instead through faith in God, stand up and say, I know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God is more powerful than any of the lies of the wicked. Your situation will start turning around. What do you want to hand clap and praise? Your situation. When the enemy saw this, they fled. But just remember, they're over here. God's people's over here. Winner take all. When they saw this, guess what? They didn't keep their word. King Goliath to win, and so he was never going to take Israel as slaves. But he did say, but if you win, we become your slaves. No, they didn't. Even in fear, they lied. But also, when Israel saw it, they pursued. Wow. If you find a way, when you're under attack from that toxic anxiety, and you're anchored, and you're ready to hoist that sail of faith, all it takes is one to stand up, and the rest will do it. You know, there's the crazy thing about sheep. Sheep kind of wander aimless. That's why the shepherd has to be so close to them and know so much about them and know them by name. And they know the shepherd, but they're not good at anything else. They will walk in the water and drown. You'll get water, walk in the water and drown if the shepherd doesn't get them out. Usually there's one sheep that's the oldest. The other sheep kind of follow, and they put a bell sheep. They put a bell on that one. And so when that one starts moving, the shepherd really, really focuses on that bell sheep. And they'll follow that bell, or they'll follow the shepherd's voice. But all it takes in any time those sheep are in that field, it doesn't take a real attack. It doesn't take a real threat. The wind can blow hard. The birds can make a different kind of sound. And when one sheep hears it, gets scared, and starts running, guess what happens? The rest of the sheep follow him. I want you to think about that next time you're running in fear. Who's following you? Who are you leading? I don't want to leave people in fear. I want to leave people in faith. So, here we go. You got a choice today. I love this. For every Goliath, there's a stone. DC, come over here and place it, buddy. For every Goliath, there's a stone. You can be the hunter, the victor mindset. Or you can be the hunted. The victim mindset. I love it when I see somebody get out of the victim mentality and get into the victor mentality. I love it. I love it. I love it. Part of counseling is to help people get out of that victim mindset and get them into the victor mindset. Part of pastoring, get them out of the victim mindset, get them into the victor mindset. Because the Bible clearly states, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you've lost, guess what? You've lost. If you think you can't, guess what? You can't. They did a test, a psychological test, and they took a bucket of ice. And they took the experimental person and took off his shoes and his socks and anything other than just bare skin. And they stuck him in that ice and timed him. He stayed in ice for less than 5 seconds. After he got dried off, after he got warmed up, they took that same guy and stuck him in that bucket of ice. But this time, people were around him going, "You can do this! Come on, you can do this! Give it all you got! Come on!" They were cheering him on. When he went by himself, he said 5 seconds. When people were cheering him on and telling him he could do it, he stayed there for 20 seconds plus. You have a big hand, not only in your victory, but in other people's. trusted himself. But number two, you've heard it. During David's ministry, he killed Goliath and four more giants from that family. So five altogether. So not only was that showing that he didn't trust in his own self without God, but it also showed it was prophetic. Not only was he going down, the four more to come against him, they're going down too. Everybody stand. In a world filled with Goliaths, be a David. Be the one who places his trust in him and not in himself. Greater is he who lives in us than he that's in the world. With God on your side, you can be an overcomer. You can be a giant slayer. Get pumped up and roar. Wow. But get ready to pray. Before we pray, everybody put your hands this way. Benny asked for a special prayer.
Anxiety.
and it's driving a wedge between you, your family, God. Nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. Put that hand up. I got it. I got it, Pastor. I got it. This toxic anxiety is getting the best of me. We're all going to pray right now. First, let me pray for you, and then we'll get y'all to join in. Father, you're a powerful God. You're an almighty God. You know what we need. You know where we've been. You know where we're going. And the cool thing is, God, not only do you know where we're going, you're already there. You're in our past, our present, and our future at the same time, because you are not hindered by time or space. And because you're already there, you've already provided the way. We can't see it all the time. We don't know it. But we know you're already there, so you've already opened that door. You've already helped us with the pain. You've already helped us get through the struggle. You've already done for us what we need to done. But our anxiety is shutting it down. God, touch right now in a very powerful way. God, we thank you for a powerful move of your spirit to this place right now. Lord, let every person in this place, Lord, feel your touch, your anointing, to know that you've got them. And they can let go of this toxic anxiety, because you're already ahead of us. You already know. You've already got it all planned out. We thank you, God, instead of anxiety, help us learn to trust. And whenever the beheader comes this way, help us to set him down. Yes. Shut him up. Yes. With all his lies. Yeah. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Y'all pray with me. God, I rededicate my life to you. I ask you to help me do what you've called me to do. I've asked you now to help me get through this toxic anxiety. Help us, God. Not be like Saul, but be like David. We thank you, God, that the enemy may be strong, but you are stronger. And we don't have to submit to the lies or the authority of the enemy, because you have us. Ask you right now, God, to help us as we rededicate ourselves to you, to know that you got us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Powerful stuff. When you take your natural and put it to God's super, guess what you get? Supernatural. Amen. God wants to take your natural, put a super with it. Wow. It's amazing. David, it made David's sling become a rocket launcher. When they found what they believe is Goliath's head, it was a horse. Now, I might talk about that Easter, but they found it with a stone embedded in the head. God took that simple slingshot and made it a rocket launcher. Some of y'all today might think, I can't do anything. God can't use me. I haven't had a divorce. I don't have the title. I don't have this. I don't have that. And God said, if you give it to me, I can take your sling and make it a rocket launcher. Wow. Okay, Brother Doug, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and he'll dismiss us in prayer. Hey, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day which you brought us here to hear your word and spirit and truth. Father, we thank you for the promises that you've given us. Thank you for the trials that you brought us through, that you will continue to bring us through. Lord, give us peace in every storm. We trust in you, that we already know that the victory is yours. You just need to bring us through. Lord, we ask that you bring us back to this point in time. Keep us safe. Help us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And share your word and your